This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is Rivalry Week with Danny and Dusty.
Gabriel, snap, wants to throw it. Goes fade run out to the left. Was it caught? It was! Touchdown! Evan Stewart!
Bud Light presents a Rivalry Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Nothing easier to enjoy than that. Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus.
Rivalry Week with Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Here's the handoff. There's Woody Knuff, the middle. Buster 5-3-2. Oh! Lowers his hand into the end zone. Whittington will not be denied. Get out of my way.
The Fan.
Hour number three here on a Monday afternoon on Danny and Dusty, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this lovely, lovely Monday afternoon. We're pivoting back to some NFL coverage. It was an interesting week in the NFL. It started off with our Thursday night game with the Browns pulling the upset on the Steelers in the Armageddon Snowball. And it continued into the weekend where you had an overtime game between the Bears and the Vikings, where it's very clear that Caleb Williams lost 200 pounds this week, 2 weeks ago, in the name of Shane Waldron.
Ooh, buddy.
And boy, does he look astronomically better.
Yeah, he does. He looks far more comfortable. Well, it's amazing when we talked about this before Waldron got fired in that they've taken away Caleb Williams' strengths in order to try to acclimate him to NFL life. Mm-hmm. And you don't do that with it. You don't neuter a player.
No, you accentuate.
You say, you do you, you be you, but this is where we need to improve. Mm-hmm. And Waldron went around about it the entirely wrong way. Mm-hmm. And now you're seeing Thomas Brown is, they're maximizing him right now. They're doing a really good job.
Turns out, 340 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, yep, carrying the ball for another 30 yards. Nearly 400 yards of total offense.
And you know what? Screw the Vikings, though. Mm. They're up 24-10 entering the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And I'm like 3.5, feeling good about it. Mm-hmm. Wrong. They win by 3. Yeah, this is my only loss this weekend.
We both had that one.
What are we doing here?
Stuff.
Come on.
But that game did go to overtime, and the Bears looked like they might have found a little something there, but the Vikings did what they're supposed to do, mm-hmm, and they're at 9-2 on the season.
Dude.
They're just flying. Like, the Lions are getting the lion's share of all the coverage, which they deserve.
Dude, the Lions are the best team in the NFL.
Yes.
And by almost any metric, it's not particularly close.
No, look, I know Patrick Mahomes, sleeping giant, blah, 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 blah. The best team in the NFL is the Lions.
Right now, they are playing the best. Kansas City flirted with disaster against Carolina, for God's sake.
Against the freaking Panthers. And the Chiefs are now the first team in NFL history to win 8 games by less than one score.
Wow. By less than one score. By less than a touchdown?
I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, less than one score? I don't know if you can do that.
Yeah. If you look at their wins so far this year, it's absolutely insane. Ravens by 7. Bengals by 1. Falcons by 5. Chargers by 7. Raiders by 7. Bucks by 6. Broncos by 2. Panthers by 2.
Yikes.
They are scraping
by three.
I'm sorry, I can't math. They're scraping by the skin of their teeth.
Yeah, and Patrick Mahomes is not playing like the Mahomes that we know. And we can roll our eyes at the sleeping giant thing. They are going to get healthier. They're going to get better. And
they're still
be 10 scary.
And 1.
Yeah, they are a terrifying team. But right now, you can be honest. And look, they are going to be hell in the playoffs. And they're getting drug into deep water. And they're finding ways to win. And Mahomes said it yesterday. He's like, I'd like to win by 3 scores. Like, God, I would much rather we do that than this right here. It's not like they're not trying. But when you get drug into deep water, you find out what you have in your guys. And what they have in their guys, they have a bunch of damn winners in Kansas City. What we're seeing in Detroit, though, is you're seeing a team that is an absolute menace.
They are flying all around on both sides of the ball. It just, it looks different, does it not? Like, it's a different brand of football than everybody else is playing.
You don't win games the way that the Detroit Lions are winning. Like,
pummeling teams into submission?
Repeatedly. Yeah. 24-6.
That's not supposed to happen week in, week out.
We don't put that down in the NFL very often. You think of the games that they've won, right? By three scores. They beat the Seahawks 42-29.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess that would be two. Right? Yeah.
But you still hung 42.
47-9 over the Cowboys. 52-14 over the Titans, which just beat the Houston Texans.
Yes.
And CJ Stroud, the sophomore slump. Teams are starting to get a book on him. He, Dan Orlovsky, did. And he's not Dan Orlovsky, but he did that. Then they have a 52-6 beatdown of the Jags. And then they follow it up with a 24-6 win. Like, that's not supposed to happen.
You're
in
supposed
the
National to scrape
Football
by League. It with wins. Not to the level of what the Chiefs have done, but somewhere in between.
They are pummeling teams. And they're doing it with both sides of the football, which is the terrifying part, right? The fact that they've allowed 12 points over the last 2 weeks, I don't care if it's to the Jags and it's to the Colts. I don't care. It's the NFL. Like, they are manhandling teams. And it's impressive to see. And I don't know. You know, Jared Goff is a guy who deserves a lot more credit. We talk about that, and then I go and I jinx him, and they lose a game, and he plays terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But, or actually, no, they lost. They won that game.
They threw won. Five picks. Threw five picks, came back and won.
Yeah. They, if he does that in the playoffs, yeah, they're, you turn into a pumpkin, your season's done, and it could be like in the divisional round, right? But to the extent that their defense has stepped up their game without their best defensive player, who's snapped his leg, right? They are a team that...
That's the scary thing. Is this
force to be reckoned
this
with.
This team is missing Hutch.
Mm-hmm. And they're still doing it. I am so impressed with the Detroit Lions. Their point differential is plus 177.
What's the Panthers?
The Panthers' point differential is minus 146.
So they're better at being good than the Panthers are at being bad.
The next closest team to Detroit is Buffalo at plus 106.
Yeah.
Those are the only two teams
plus
with
100.
A point differential over 100 in the entire National Football
Which
League.
Which is a lot. If your average margin of a game is less than 7 points and you're at week 11... You should expect an above average team to basically be about like a plus 60 to plus 70.
Dude, it's what they're doing to teams is it's
outlier stuff.
Mind boggling.
Yes. Real quick, we talked about the Commanders. They dropped to 7-5 and the Eagles winning. It basically locks down the NFC East for the Eagles. And you mentioned it with the Texans falling, the second tier teams in the AFC and the NFC, which the Commanders and Texans are, both drop games to opponents they had no business dropping games to. They're both with young quarterbacks. And I think even though they're wildly different in kind of the what happened, it showed the holes that both those teams currently have to address. I think it was an interesting juxtaposition on where those franchises are. And I think you should expect the Texans and Commanders over the next 5 to 7 years to be very good with kind of the foundations that they both set. But it also kind of, I think it shows where they're actually at. Where they could step on those landmines and not find a Mahomesian way or the Detroit Lions way through them, right? So I thought that was at least mildly interesting as far as like the similarities, even though they're very different in those losses.
The separation is wild in both the AFC and the NFC of the top tier and
the next tier
the everybody else's, right? Because in the NFC, you look at it, Detroit, Philly,
Minnesota
is going to be a wild card team. You know, they're 9-2 right now.
Imagine you're another wild card team in there and you're like, how the hell? No, come on, man. Like Minnesota.
Right. Yeah. Or it's like, they're going to have to go on the road to a team like Atlanta or Seattle, which 6-5 for both of those teams.
And they get you win your division and that's what you come up with.
But we've seen this before with, you know, Seattle. That was a huge win for the Seahawks over the Cardinals.
Which like, is
that
the perfect is, place. Let's yeah. go there next, because you had a massive shift in the NFC West. And could we have seen the end of the 49ers as they currently stand?
Yep.
We'll get that here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Continuing on in the NFL, two massive games in the NFC. First of all, between the Green Bay Packers and San Francisco 49ers, or at least what's left of the San Francisco 49ers. Absolutely decimated by injury. Brandon Allen is out there at quarterback. The Green Bay Packers annihilate the 49ers 38-10. It was not a ball game. It was not worth throwing on your screen. It was a absolute and utter bloodbath.
You know my run the ball stat here?
Mm.
My run the ball stat that you can...
Run the ball! Mm.
The top four rushing teams in the NFL this year,
mm-hmm.
Philadelphia,
uh-huh.
Baltimore,
uh-huh.
Green Bay,
uh-huh.
Detroit.
Weird.
They are a combined 34-10 on the season. Run the ball.
The pendulum has swung back.
Win the game.
Look, you always had to be able to run the ball to win, but it has become, the pendulum has swung back away from the quarterback. It's mm-hmm. still the most important position in football. All those things all still hold true. Teams that run the ball and play defense win in the NFL, and yeah. it is becoming the norm again.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. And like, if you look at it and you say, all right, who are the outliers then? Well, it's Kansas City, who is middle of the pack running the football mm-hmm. at 116 yards per game, and Buffalo, which is
a physical team.
2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12th in the NFL at 119 yards per game. Like, those are the outliers of teams that are winning football games, but not running the ball at that level. It always has been, like, everybody talks about Tom Brady being in the greatest quarterback of all time. His best teams were the ones where they ran the ball. They were top seven in team rushing.
Weirdly enough, years. You don't hear about Corey Dillon all that often.
Yeah, or Kevin Falk, no. or like they had good running games.
Really,
and they did it by committee for most of it. The mm-hmm. Corey Dillon was, they got a workhorse and they rode.
They
his ass.
Rode him. You go look at Corey Dillon. Everybody wants to talk about Corey Dillon with the Bengals, and yeah, for sure. Go look at Corey Dillon with the Patriots. He was an absolute monster.
Yes.
But beyond the running the ball stats, the 49ers are, I mean, their season is basically done at this point, even at 5-6, even mm-hmm. with where the NFC West is, because they're 2-3 in the division. And more importantly, for the 49ers, beyond even the injuries and where they could get back, the Seahawks, with their win, move to 3-4 in the division, 6-5, and they kind of wrestle hold what little bit of control is available in the NFC West because of all of the different head-to-heads. And it's a weird spot to be somehow that close as the 49ers, but seemingly so far away. Because of all of the injuries, because of the head-to-heads they've lost, the path for them to win this division requires a lot of help.
Yeah, and look, they have a split with the Seahawks, which each team won on the road, mm-hmm. which is a
weird thing.
Weird anomaly there. So you have a split there. The 49ers just seem broken to the nth degree. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, injuries have played a huge role in that, and they always are injured. Like, a Bosa brother will always be hurt.
Yes.
I think that's a rule in the National mm-hmm. Football League that either Nick or Joey needs to be hurt. But now Brock Purdy is dinged up with that shoulder that held him out of the game. You've got Brandon Ayuk down with an ACL injury. Like, it just always is mounting up, and this year is not the 49ers' year. The worst thing that they could do is just panic and clean house on everybody, because your window, like last year, was your year.
Yes.
Right? You have one more year where you can go, all
you
right.
You can stretch it. It's going to hurt you.
But it is also puts into perspective on how dominant and how special the Kansas City Chiefs are on mm-hmm. their run right now, in that they have been wildly healthy. They're getting dinged up this year and still finding ways to win.
And they're already paying their quarterback.
Yeah, and they did it on a 10-year deal that everybody at the time was like, what is going on here? Well, that $500 million deal that they gave Patrick Mahomes, going to be a bargain.
Well, none of that. It's going to start hitting here soon.
Well, it's going to be a bargain still, though, because mm-hmm. of what everybody else is getting paid, and he's got that security. And look, mm-hmm. they've got a quarterback that all he wants to do is win.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll continue to take the quote-unquote pay cut, which is just kicking the can down the road, and the team's going to eventually have to pay for it, a la the New Orleans Saints, who are still paying for kicking the can down the road for Drew Brees all those years in salary cap hell. But if you can get over them, it's worth it for Kansas City right now.
If you win a title, go ask the Los Angeles Rams if they're mad about it right now.
Yeah, yeah. And
the answer is no.
That is where the uneasiness and the unrest is coming with San Francisco, because then you have teams like Seattle, and what Mike McDonald's doing with Seattle is they're just plugging away. They've been getting better every single week. You're starting to see the imprint of his identity on that team, winning 16-6, Arizona going to a gloomy Lumen Field yesterday was the most predictable thing, in that their offense wouldn't be able to produce and they wouldn't show up, and the Seahawks just ground out a win. Now you look at it, Seattle, winners of two in a row, they go to the Jets this week, and then you're feeling pretty damn good about where you're at if you're Seattle, man. Like, you could start peeling off quite a few wins here. Green Bay and Minnesota both have to go to Lumen Field. You got a trip to Arizona mixed in there. But it looks like if Seattle continues to play mistake-free, and that's the big one, is that, like, Geno's got to take care of the ball. You've got to play damn near, not perfect. You have to play efficient offensive football. Give your defense a chance.
Okay. Here's your two schedules. You're the 49ers and you're beat to hell. And there was just an update that Brock Purdy had some light throwing today. Okay. Bosa, I don't know. McCaffrey was, I mean, he played, but did he play? You know, getting what did he have? Four carries in the game? Knowing all of that, the 49ers play at the Bills this week. The Bears, who, again, better, still the Bears. Rams, who have been a thorn in their side for some weird reason, at the Dolphins, the Lions, and then at the Cardinals. Okay, how many games are they winning in there? Two? Maybe three?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on if those guys that you're talking about are healthy. If Purdy's there, if Bosa's there.
Do you trust they're going to be healthy? Because I don't.
Purdy, yeah. I mean, yeah, you do. But, I mean, the shoulder kind of came out of nowhere for people. I think that if they're healthy, though, they could run the table. They could. I mean,
run the table at the Bills and home against the Lions?
Yeah, because where are the Lions going to be at that point?
It's the second to last week, not the last week.
Yeah, second to last
week. So it might still matter.
Yeah, I don't think it will.
It might.
But
the Vikings are only a game behind them.
Yep, yep. But you could. They are a team that is good enough to do that.
Okay.
I wouldn't be stunned if they go to Buffalo and win.
Okay.
Like, I wouldn't.
I would, just with how they played, even when they've been healthy.
If they're healthy, like, they are talented enough to beat anybody.
Sure.
Anybody. They have so many warts, though.
Here's who you have if you're the Seahawks.
I think they're done, but
yeah.
I wouldn't be absolutely stunned if they, you know, have one loss down the stretch and you're sitting there and you're looking at one more loss would put them at 10-7 on the year. You know, if they go 5-1 down the stretch, I'd be like, yeah, they're going to grind for it, and it's not going to be pretty. But I wouldn't be stunned if they went 5-1, were 10-7, and sitting there in the wild card.
Your Seahawks schedule down the stretch. At the Jets, at the Cardinals, so they get that squared away. Packers, Vikings, Bears, Rams. It's not an easy road to hoe there either.
No. No, it's, I mean, and that's the thing about the NFC West, is that, like, that was the whole playoff probability and predictor thing last week, and I was like, how does Seattle have such a narrow chance, but San Francisco doesn't? Because a lot of those opponents are common opponents that they're going to be playing down the stretch, and that tells you what they think of San Francisco's talent. But with Seattle, I look at more, all right, what teams do you get at home? Mm-hmm. You get the two toughest teams in that stretch at home, in Green Bay and Minnesota.
And you go to Arizona and New York.
Yep.
Which,
and the
not exactly hostile crowds.
And Chicago, which, sign me up.
Yeah.
Day after Christmas.
That's a good game.
That game is going to be in Chicago. We're going to probably have snow.
Probably.
Let's go.
I like the fact that we're looking at more snow games this year. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are real things.
Snow games, they're awesome to watch. They're horrible to play in. But they're awesome to watch. I love watching snow football. And I can't wait for the college football playoff, too, because you could, like, if you look at where some of these games may be, like, think about this. State College, Pennsylvania, in mid-December, hosting a game.
Boise State hosting a game.
Boise, and that's usually around the time of the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Mm. And
it is usually, that is icy. So much snow.
I remember going there 1 year, and like it was Georgia Tech Fresno State.
Mm.
The Georgia Tech guys were like, what is this kind of cold?
Yeah, Fresno gets a little bit of that every now and then, once every 15 years or so.
Georgia Tech was like, nah,
we've never seen anything like this. And that's, again, if you're not going to put Boise in the top four, which they probably shouldn't at this point, give them a home game. Give them a home game.
Give them a home game. I doubt they're going to do that.
Please do it.
Not going to do it.
Please do it. All right, coming up next, you know, the last couple of weeks, we've had so much coming out of the week that we haven't even had a chance to talk about Monday Night Football without getting to the next day. This time, we have to, because it's the Harbaugh. Harbaugh. There we go. Coming up next here on Danny Dusty. But first, here's the Big Kahuna with the Sports Center Update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
The first family of football reunites yet again to have another showdown. Jim versus John, the Harbaugh. The Los Angeles Chargers at 7-3, taking on the Baltimore Ravens at 7-4.
Let's go.
Quick update. The Harbaugh parents will not be in attendance for tonight's game.
Hey, that's a bummer.
They will be with Tom Crean and the Harbaugh daughter celebrating their 63rd anniversary together.
Oh, what? It's on Monday Night Football? Oh, my goodness.
And you had to know they had a feeling about this, what was happening, so.
Well, yeah, they knew it. I remember that when the schedule came out. That was something Jim said, is it's their parents' 63rd wedding anniversary, or I didn't remember a 63, but it was the wedding anniversary on the date that Jim and John go head to head. John is 2-0 against his brother in the NFL.
Interesting.
Obviously, a Super Bowl being a pretty big one.
Yeah.
That's a big one. ESPN did the big Sports Center special edition thing about the Harbaugh, and Jim said something that was awesome, in my opinion, because he's like, I finally get to sit at the big kids' table because of the fact that John is Super Bowl. My dad had won a national championship. Now I get a national championship too. Like, all three of them have won championships.
Also, John was quick to correct the ESPN writer who did the profile. He is not 2-0 against his brother. He's 3-0, including a preseason game in 2014.
Never forget that.
No, are you kidding me? Hyper-competitive family?
Yeah.
You're going to lord every last one over the other.
And you know that Jim is stewing in every loss to his brother, preseason or regular season. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. I love both of the Harbaughs. They are the best thing in football.
I mean, okay, Jack
They're
Harbaugh,
lunatics.
The patriarch of the family.
Nobody does better than us.
Yeah. He was asked whether or not Jim has fully come to terms with the loss in the Super Bowl, and he says, I think he's still working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in what year? 2016?
Yeah, something 15? Like that. 15, 16,
We're closing in on 10 years.
Well, you don't get over crippling losses like that. You never do.
Crippling losses to your brother.
Yeah, you never will ever get over those. And thank God the lights went out, right? Because that game was, whoa, Nelly, sideways.
The conspiracy theories on that have not gone as far as I'd hoped they would.
Yeah, because
we don't even have like a good like Cal Ripken Jr. consecutive games streak with the power going out.
Yeah.
Like, nothing comes close to that.
I think with that, it is that they're both families are lunatic. Both coaches are lunatics because they're from the same family.
Same family, yeah.
So it's like, all right, well, who would this conspiracy do? What did they want out of that conspiracy? That's the bigger one right there. Is that you got to have one like lopsided? Like, was it Mama Harbaugh cutting the lights and calling the fight off, and then was like, maybe this will recharge the
flipping
boys.
The light switch to get their attention.
Yeah, stop beating up on your brother.
Hey, click, 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 click.
I can't wait for this game though, because
who's it a bigger game for? Who needs it more, Chargers or Ravens?
I think the Chargers do.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think Jim needs it more. I think Jim needs it more than John, but the Ravens need it more than the Chargers.
I think the Chargers need it because they're on a 4-game heater right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing well, but that last game, remember that Cincinnati game that they're coming off of?
Mm-hmm.
Where it was like one of those nail biters, you're letting them, you had to grind out a win against a team that was backed into a corner. You have to realize the Chargers have got a visit to Arrowhead. They've got the Broncos left, the Buccaneers left. Like, they need to start stacking wins in that wild card race. I think it's huge for them. For Baltimore, they're looking at the AFC North, and I mean, Pittsburgh is leading that division, but they can chase down.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, who they face down the stretch? They have the Chargers tonight, Eagles next week, Giants, then the Steelers, then the Texans and Browns.
Yeah.
It's not a, not an easy schedule.
This is a great Monday night game for that reason.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think the Chargers need it because they need a win that they can hang their hat on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because what's their best win so far? The Broncos.
Yeah.
Beating the Broncos. I mean, Saints, Browns, Titans, Bengals are their four-game win streak. Their other two wins are against the Raiders and the Panthers.
I'd argue the Bengals is a big win just because, again, Bengals 4-7, but
Burrow went off. He had to play perfect.
And the Chargers managed. It was the first time this season the Chargers scored more than 27 points.
Yeah, but against a four-win team.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you go back, it was... went over Bo Nix in Mile High, a rookie quarterback.
God, yeah. Okay,
they need a pelt on their wall.
Yeah. Okay, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I just had like this.
Like, we have a belief the Baltimore can beat good teams.
Yeah, we do. But when they have matched up, the Steelers undressed them. The Chiefs Or not Baltimore, for San Diego. Like, that's, you know, they had no offense whatsoever. When you look at the Ravens, aren't the Ravens kind of in the same boat, though?
No, they beat the Bills. I mean, they've beaten the Bills. They waxed the Broncos 41-10. They beat the Buccaneers by double digits.
But they also, that same Bengals team, they beat by one.
Mm-hmm.
And then they beat that same Bengals team by three.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that Bills
division
game,
games, yeah. Division games you can't throw out.
I mean, that crappy Cowboys team they beat by three.
Isn't that the story of the Bengals, like, all season long?
Being on the other side of that,
one score games.
As much as the Chiefs are 10-1, the Bengals could very easily be like 9-2.
Yeah,
it's
but they're 4-7.
Very, very dumb place. Also, that Bills game is looking like maybe the biggest aberration of the season.
Really?
Yes.
How so?
You had a Bills team that didn't nut up defensively and a Ravens team that played defense. And even then, I don't think either one of those are true because Josh Allen forgot how to play football.
Yeah. Well, Baltimore also, I mean, we much maligned their defense this season. They held that Bills team to 10.
Mm-hmm.
They held the Broncos to 10, right? And the they just lost a game to the Pittsburgh Steelers where they didn't score a touchdown.
Also, Steelers.
Right? But they didn't score a touchdown. That's what bad defenses don't do that in the NFL. And so it's like, are they ever going to figure it out and show consistency in those games? And that's a massive question mark that we have moving forward. Crazy.
So,
6 field goals.
I'm excited about this game. I will.
Good if you have Boswell as your kicker.
Yeah.
Fantasy.
I will be watching it on the second screen tonight.
Yeah, because the Blazers have the Memphis Grizzlies.
The Blazers have the Memphis Grizzlies tonight with John Morant. So, we can talk about that and a few other things here to wrap up today's show. But that's a little bow on today's show.
Hey.
We'll hand you over to Isaac Suk here for Primetime here on Dan and Dusty, Tenny the Fan.
It's time for a Blazers report on the Fan. The inside story on the Portland Trail Blazers, brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria.
As we just mentioned, the Portland Trail Blazers do take on the Memphis Grizzlies, and a slight change as the Memphis Grizzlies are getting back Ja Morant tonight. Slight little change in the line, bumping up to an 11-point line for the Memphis Grizzlies as the favorite, as the Blazers are on the road, game 4 of this road trip before they wrap things up in Indiana. The Portland Trail Blazers will be without Donovan Clingan tonight as well after banging his knee against the Houston Rockets. We're waiting on an update for him to see where he currently stands. It sounds like DeAndre Ayton could make his return very soon. Everybody else, for the most part, we're still waiting on an update on Scoot Henderson to see if he'll be available. He was day-to-day last game. This Trail Blazers report on the Fan is brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria, the best place to go before and after games or any event. Check it out on the corner of Southeast 15th and Broadway, aztecwillies.com. Portland Trailblazers do take on the Memphis Grizzlies tonight, and John Morant is making his return. What is unclear is the status of a couple different Trailblazers as it pertains to the medical report. Donovan Clingan did take a little bit of a knee knock in the game two against the Houston Rockets. Scoot Henderson, a little bit of a back strain and a knee or a thigh contusion. Two different incidents, one taking a knee to the thigh, the other getting involved in a mild car accident in Houston on Thursday.
Crazy.
The good news is for the Portland Trail Blazers, it does sound like DeAndre Ayton is getting closer. It wouldn't surprise me if he didn't play tonight, that if he played in Indiana. If not, by the time they get back, I would expect he's probably going to play. The good news is, between now and January 8th, the Blazers do not have a back-to-back game, which means Robert Williams III should be available, knocking on all the things mostly would, for every game. I wouldn't be surprised if they do hold him out, though, because, like I said, they do basically play every other night between now and Christmas. So I would expect that they maybe sneak some rest in for him there, because they're going to act with DA and DC out. They're going to lean on him a little bit more. We're going to see some Denny Avdia center minutes tonight.
Oh.
I mean,
he did well against Houston.
He's a great rebounder. He's very strong, and it presents a different look.
Boy, and I'm looking at these games in between now and Christmas, and you're like, all right, which teams play small ball? None. Indiana, Sacramento, Dallas, Clippers, Utah, LA,
it's a bunch of
the Lakers,
big old teams,
Denver, San Antonio, Dallas again. Like, it is that's a gauntlet, dude, of big physical dudes.
The good news for the Blazers is when they do come back home and they face Dallas, it does sound like Luka is still going to be out.
Oh.
So,
again, I mean, is that
selfishly for me, I don't get to watch Luka play, and I don't like that.
I don't like it either.
It's like no Ja, very little Zion, now no Luka. Come on, quit resting when you come to Portland, you monsters. They've all been hurt. So, but again, the point spread tonight is 11 in favor of the Grizzlies. What's also a bummer is you don't get to see.
Has that gone up since?
It
started 10? At 10.5, immediately shot up to 11.5, then almost immediately after that down to 11, and at my last update, it had gone down to 10.5 again.
Oh, wow.
That's because they're betting the Grizzlies.
Yeah. Russ isn't looking at that line at all, though.
Hey, you got to keep updated on my updates.
You absolutely do.
Most recent information.
Win that money. Retirement. What?
There you go. I will say the Blazers have been tremendous against the spread this season. Vegas has no idea what to do with them.
No, we've talked about this. Mm-hmm. A team with as much variance in so many different aspects of their game.
Outliers.
How do you predict the unpredictable?
The thing I think you should, if you're, again, for entertainment purposes only, if you're doing anything with the Blazers, it's the under.
Yeah, dude.
It's the under. They are grinding teams to dust. And it's not that they're playing slow. It's just that they, again, I call them swamp things. They reach up out of the swamp and they pull you into the muck. They don't hop on land with you. One of the things I'm writing right now is stylistically what they do. Hopefully I'll have it out tomorrow, but I'm taking a look at just how many games they've won shooting under 40% and how often they're making opponents shoot under 40% and how close those games are, because they basically just, they go full David and Goliath and just go, we got a rock, we got a sling.
We're gonna hit you in the knees enough times. Maybe we'll run between your leg with some rope and you'll trip on your feet.
Get the at.
Ha ha.
There you go.
Gotcha. Like
the old Empire Strikes Back treatment.
So, yeah.
Don't know that reference, but.
Vigor Vortex line. Blazers can't even lose correctly. Look, they're 7-10 right now. I look at the schedule, look at where they're at injury wise. Expect losses to pile up. They're two wins ahead of schedule right now.
Yeah, I'm bummed we don't get ED clinging.
No, it's fun because there was real beef there.
Mm-hmm.
There was real, like, you could. Zach Edey had a workout in Portland that was tremendous, and I think he felt like he might have a chance to come here, but I think he ended up in the best place for him in Memphis. Mm-hmm. I think he could be a grit and grind, like, post-masher that really fits well with that team.
Yeah.
So, and the Blazers took the upside on Clingan, and you're seeing kind of what that could be. It's a good place to be.
I hope we see a closely contested loss.
There you go.
That's what I hope.
I'm babe.
And it's nothing against the Portland Trail. It is everything to do with Cooper Flagg. Looked really good.
Yeah, 30 seconds on Cooper Flagg. Cooper Flagg was 3 of 10 in the game against Arizona in the first half. Struggled to an extent. Was rebounding. Had knocked down a three. Blocked a shot. Had a steal. He closed the game 7 of 10 and absolutely dog-walked the Arizona Wildcats out of the building.
Whoa, Nelly.
Reminder, Cooper Flagg, 17 years old. He is not 18 until next month.
All right.
So
I like that.
He has had 22, 6, 4, 2, and 2 against Arizona and 26, 12, 4, and 2 against Kentucky.
Whoa.
Yeah.
He's pretty. The turnovers, though. Don't draft Cooper Flagg.
The ball control's a problem.
We'll have a little bit more on this tomorrow. There is a recruit that I read this article on in The Athletic over the weekend. His name is Toby Hastrup. He plays football in the state of Texas. He has released today his list of the final six schools, and his top six are USC, Michigan, Texas Tech, Florida State, Missouri, and Oregon. At the beginning of this summer, he asked this question to one of his coaches. What is a first down? He has never played football before, and after his first game, he had 12 Division I offers, and his final six are the schools that I just read. 6'4", 235, runs a 10-700. We'll talk about him tomorrow.
Goodness.
All right. 4 hours of power there, mouths to your ears. Prime time with us, good soup, next, right here on The Fan.
Bye. Oh, my God.